Hello, it is 3 a.m. in New York, 9 a.m. in Johannesburg, and 2 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Bean from sundaybean.com, and I am a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. Back in the late 90s, I worked for a consulting firm, and my boss and mentor at the time pulled me aside and said, "Sunday, listen, I've got something I want to show you." And she drew a graph on a piece of paper, and on the graph, she put 100%. And she explained to me, she said, "Listen, Sunday, here's your 100%." So she drew a line and wrote in 100% and put Sunday. Then she drew in the client's 100%, about 15 points below mine. And her point was, of course, that my client would have been happy 85% at 85%. And I was putting in this extra effort that actually didn't create more results. In fact, what it did, it cost me 15% of my time, which resulted in overtime. It meant sacrificing my evening, a night of relaxation and socializing with my friends, and to be honest, energy for the next day. Her pulling me aside really put things in perspective that sometimes my 100% goes way beyond someone else's, and no one really notices the difference. Another example, when I was in college, I wrote a paper, and my college roommate, looked at it and I wasn't happy with it. So I went back and I rewrote it, and I'm talking like 17 hours of rewriting. The next day I gave it to him and I said, "What do you think?" He goes, "Yeah, it's good, but so was the other one." And I thought, oh, I'm still learning that lesson. When is something good enough? And that is what I want to talk to you about today. When is it good enough? And here's something that will put it into perspective for you. I don't know if you caught Tim Urban's article on weightbutwhy.com, but he did an article called Your Life in Weeks. And this focused on visualizing how long a human life is in years. And we're going to give someone benefit of the doubt that they live to, let's say, 90. So throughout this, Tim Urban visualized a 90-year human life in years. And when you create a pixel or a box, and each one is a decade, that's a little tidy square. And then if you put it into months, you can see this rectangle. And you put it in weeks, and now we've got a longer box. But when I look at the week of the year and how old I am, I'm kind of in the middle of the box. That means this realization of my time is actually finite. We always have this feeling like we're going to live forever and we have endless time. And so we do things like rewriting a paper, which actually is as good as the one I wrote 17 hours ago. So when we think about the reality that our life is finite and our time here on this earth is finite, I think it's worth asking yourself the question, what is good enough? Because when we spend that extra 15% of our time and our energy, we're taking away that time and energy from something else. And the best friend of the question, what is good enough, is actually the question, am I good enough? And I feel as expats, we're confronted with this all the time because of the way our lives change. We're learning languages, we're parenting third culture kids, we have limited time and energy, and we're moving continents. Our bodies are adapting to new physical environments, going from Ulaanbaatar with extreme cold to Ouagadougou with extreme heat. And we're just trying to have enough energy and presence of mind to call our friends back home at the right time. Okay, everything's changing, our jobs, our location, working agreements, culture, the language. And there's so much pressure from the outside to do things, to do them more, do them faster, and to hit the ground running when we just got somewhere, right? So I think it's a really important question to ask yourself today. What really is good enough? And if we land on that question, like this 15% of excess that my mentor pointed out, we realize that we could be making a huge mistake. We could be eating up these precious pixels or boxes that represent weeks or months of our lives because we're striving for something where the only impact that it makes is to soothe our insecurities and eat away at our health and precious time. So what is good enough? I'm going to offer you 5 tips to help you decide. 5 tips to know when it's good enough. Tip 1, look at your standards. When I say look at your standards, I want you to ask yourself of what you think is good enough, being a good enough parent, employee, spouse, etc. Are these standards really yours? Or did you inherit them from your mother, your culture, society, or your neighbor? Look at it long and hard, and then listen to your body. What is true? Okay, 1, look at your standards. Let me be really honest with you. If you are like most people, you have inherited standards from all over the place. That's what culture is. We learn what standards are. And we become that. Otherwise, we're cultural outcasts. So we're being good boys and girls by learning what it means to be a man or a woman, or learning what it means to be a good professional at this corporate context, right? So look at your standards. Are they yours? Tip 2, wipe the slate clean temporarily. So this means focus on an area of your life where you wonder if what you're doing is good enough. And as I said, for most people, it's about their job or their kids or maybe even their body. And I want you to temporarily ignore all of the messages that you've gotten from culture, your family, media, etc. And I want you to set aside some time to discover how do you define good enough. Okay, to hell with your mother-in-law. She thinks that your house is clean enough. I want you to wipe the slate clean. Tip 3, explore. What does good enough look like? Okay, for you, you test in your body. If you think, yeah, that is definitely good enough. Look around you. When is good for everyone? For example, I used to spend, I hate even thinking about it. I used to spend like 12 to maybe 16 hours back in 2013 writing blog posts for my company and for you, my listeners, my audience. And while I'm really proud of some of the things that I wrote because I think they're important and needed to be shared, I was spending an enormous amount of my work week on writing something that didn't pay me anything and actually ate up a huge part of my productive working time. And I had a look at that and I'm like, is this serving me? Is this serving my business, my energy, my family? And I was working with my own coach and we were kind of looking at, is this the way I want to be spending my time to serve my needs, my clients and my business? And we landed on it in coaching. She pointed out that I was spending 12 to 16 hours on every blog post I wrote because every single one I wanted to change your life. Right? No pressure. I was like, wow, Sunday, you are putting a lot of pressure on yourself when the intent of every article was to change the way you felt about yourself, the way you saw the world, the way you approached your challenges. And while my intent is still the same, the amount of pressure I put on myself and the way I approach that is different. Okay, so I started exploring what are other ways I could make a positive impact on your life. People on my newsletter, my clients, and those who are reading my work, I thought there has to be another way that I can make a positive impact. And that resulted in me reducing the amount of time I spent writing dramatically. I think I saved, I don't know, 2/3 of my time by changing my approach. But the impact was still the same. I'm still getting feedback from people which are saying, hey, thanks for this article. And the same amount of feedback from things that took me 3 hours, took me 16. In fact, the most popular article I have, The Love Letter Every International Couple Should Read, got, 25,000 hits in a super short amount of time. And I still get people on that article. And that took me about 3 hours to write. So I proved to myself, good enough doesn't have to look like 12 to 16 hours. And I want you to look at that for yourself. Okay. When you ask yourself, what does good enough look like? I want you to pay attention. And you'll know it when you see it, when it has a positive impact on you and on others. Okay, so the gift you give yourself when you get clear on that is you give yourself more time to be more than good. Okay, so far we've looked at 1, look at your standards, 2, wipe the slate clean temporarily, and 3, explore what does good enough look like. So now it's time for number 4. Number 4, name the signs that you've done too much. Okay, let's say you've redone something and the only person who notices that it's changed is you. Or you're exhausted, but not in that, it's kind of in that sort of way and not in that, oh, that was amazing sort of way. And the time that you spend, the extra time you invest, doesn't make a big impact on others. Those are signs that you've done too much. So for me, too much is working when I'm not focused and I push through kind of the old model of put your time in. And during that time I'm pushing through, I'm getting really nothing important done except for refreshing my Facebook, to be honest. And I know instead I should be going for a walk and to get back my concentration or even to stop and start back tomorrow refreshed. So for me, I know the signs when I've done too much. Because it's not helping me and it's not helping my clients or my readers or my business partners. Okay, so can you name the signs when you've passed good enough to too much? If you can't, you better start paying attention, because the signs that you've done too much are the signs you've gone way beyond good enough. And now you're in that 15% of wasting your time and energy and precious life. All right, so number 4 was name the signs that you've done too much. Your assignment is to name the signs for you. Now number 5, our last one, will surprise you. This is lower your bar. Lower your bar. And come on, folks. I don't mean like do something half-assed. I mean, bring what you do down from this ridiculous height back to 100% happy. Let's say from the client perspective or from your family's perspective or from your body's perspective. Because all you do is lose energy and no one notices a change in quality. So what's it for? Okay, and lower your bar is actually an experiment. Okay, and stick with me because I know some of you are going, Sunday, this is ridiculous. Stay with me. How low can you set the standard until you start getting feedback from your body and from others that it's now just hovering above good enough? Okay, remember, so you're just above good enough, and that means everyone is happy, and you've lowered your standard. You've lowered the bar, and everyone is happy. Okay, so this is doing a great job. This is being smart with your time and energy. I'll tell you what happens. I had a client do this. This is really, really typical. I work with a lot of high performers in organizations, and I see this all the time. So I ask my clients to lower the bar, and they think, you are ridiculous. I can't believe this coach. I hate her, right? And then we say, what would that look like? And one of my clients worked too much, but was trying to create more time to work out and spend time with his wife. So I asked one of my clients to lower the bar, and we focused on one area, and that was spending less time on his projects and leaving at 6 o'clock so he could work out and see his wife. So he comes back after 2 weeks of experimenting with lowering the bar, and he's like this: what the hell, Sunday? I am freaking out because I cannot believe how much I invested so little time, and people are still happy. No one noticed. What the hell? I'm going to the gym. That's basically, he was so mad at himself. He was mad because he realized he changed dramatically the amount of time that he focused on his emails, his responses, his client preparation, and he realized actually he got better. He spent less time and the quality increased because he knew his goal was to get out at 6, go work out and be with his wife. And he got really good at honing on what was most important and what's the most effective way to get this done in a short amount of time. And he was just mad at himself because he realized he had wasted those pixels, those boxes in his life on that 15% of time that actually didn't need to be invested. Okay. Another client, we worked together, and she would have hundreds and hundreds of emails. And before answering them, she wanted some time to think about the emails so she'd have a good response, right? And we know, you know the trick, it wasn't good enough response. It was above and beyond the good that actually nobody would notice. But what it was making her have a stockpile of emails. The weight of what she had to get done was on her shoulders. And people were not getting responses right away because she needed time to think about them. And then she spent a lot of time answering them, right? So I asked her to lower the bar. And that meant we set criteria. I said, okay, answer the email, intro sentence, 3 bullet points, closing sentence, name. Okay. And she's like, what the heck, right? When she would write pages of things and long, thoughtful responses. And I said, all we're going to do is experiment. Okay. We're going to lower the bar to see how far, how much time can we save to and still be good enough. So she does this and she comes back to me and says she was able to get so much more done. She felt lighter, had more energy, and was focused. No one complained. Nothing, nothing negative happened. In fact, she said she was able to get a lot more set in motion. So when I say lower the bar, it means get out there and be amazing by doing the work, but not wasting your time and energy. And to find out where that is, you have to experiment by lowering the bar. Okay. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Sunday, but come on. All the time we hear about go above and beyond, over deliver, give it your all, right? Of course, I 100% agree that there are times we should give it your all. I don't know, childbirth, an important turning point in your career, when you're working directly with your clients, when your child is facing huge difficulties at school and needs your support. Okay, those are times where you give it your all. You do your best. But not on the PowerPoint graph. Not on the floor that should be mopped before people come over. Right? We need to use our energy much more wisely. Not on our 100 emails that are in our inbox that are building up. Okay, so we need to be careful about showing up to the events where it's really important and not getting lost in the details. Okay, save your give it your all for when it really matters and create a new default of delivering at 100%, not just 115, 120, so you have the energy when you do. Okay, and that leads me to tip six, actually. Tip six, identify your give it all moments. Okay, when is it worth it? Maybe a televised event that you're part of, a crisis with your kids, that career changing deal at work. Okay, those are the times when going above and beyond make total sense, and you're going to need the energy and focus to do it. Okay, not the report that only two people will read out of a board of 17. Not in the formatting, the flyer that was just as good as the draft 2 hours ago. Okay, we only have so many little squares or pixels of our life, of our precious time on this planet. We need to use them wisely. Okay, so tip number five, lower your bar. And tip six, identify your give it your all moments. And when you do, this is what you're going to gain. You're going to gain more time, less stress, more energy to go jogging, to eat dinner with a friend, to sleep, to play with your kids. Okay, so that is worth it. All right, let me recap for you the six tips to know when it is good enough. One, look at your standards. Two, wipe the slate clean temporarily. Three, explore. What does good enough look like? Four, name the signs that you've done too much. Five, lower your bar. And again, I don't mean half-ass it. I mean quality, where the focus and energy is there, but no one notices a change in outcome. And six, identify your give it your all moments. Okay, you guys, it is worth going through these small changes for the amount of life energy that you will use so much better. All right, that is wrapping up our final episode of focusing on the quicksand of expat life, the life upgrade. Remember, we talked about several areas of quicksand where we get stuck as expats. And this month's focus has been on how to create a life upgrade. And that is why I focus today on getting really clear on what is good enough and how do you move your energy and time so that you can have results that are good enough and still have enough time and energy for yourself. Okay, we just finished a training on how to get your confident old self back. And if you missed that, go back to my Facebook page on Sunday Schneider Beam LLC and you can watch the recording of it. Or never miss important updates like this, you guys. And go to sundaybean.com under free resources, and you will also get my free gift on the top five mistakes expats do wrong when living abroad. You have been listening to Expat Happy Hour. Thank you for listening. Remember to stay tuned for the next episode, where we'll shift our focus to another area of expat quicksand. And that is on the struggle and importance of finding your purpose.